विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो वी आर गोइंग टू डू टेक्स्ट 20, 21 and 22, three verses today from Canto 10, chapter 29. So let's recite text 20 together and then 21 and 22 we'll do responsibly. Matarah pitarah putra bhatarah patayashchavah vichinvanti hyapashyanto mam krudvam bandhu sadvasam. Translation. Not finding you at home, your mothers, fathers, sons, brothers, and husbands are certainly searching for you. Don't cause anxiety for your family members. So the word meanings for text 21 and 22. Drushtam, seen. Vanam, the forest. Kusumitam, full of flowers. Rakesh, of the moon, the lord of the presiding goddess of the full moon day. Kara, by the hand. Ranjitam, made resplendent. Yamuna, coming from the Yamuna river. Anila, by the wind. Leela, playfully. Ajat, trembling. Taru, of the trees. Pallava, with the leaves. Shobhitam, beautified. Tat, therefore. Yata, go back. Ma Chiram, without delay. Goshtam, to the cowherd village. Shushrushadvam, you must serve. Patin, your husbands. Satihi, O chaste women. Krandanti, are crying. Vatsaha, the calves. Balaha, the children. Cha, and. Tan, them. Payayata, breastfeed. Duhyata, feed with cow's milk. So let's chant responsibly. Drishtam vanam kusumitam Rakesha kararanjitam Yamuna nilalilaija Tarupallava shobhitam Tadyata machiram goshtham Shushrushadvam patin satihi Krandanti vatsabalascha Tanpayayata duyata Drishtam vanam kusumitam Rakesha kararanjitam Yamuna nilalilaija Tarupallava shobhitam Tadyata machiram goshtham Shushrushadvam patin satihi Krandanti vatsabalascha Tan payayata duyata. Drushtam vanam kusumitam. केशकरणितम् यमुनालीलैः तरुपल्लवशोभितम् दृष्टं वनं कुसुमितम् राकेशकररञ्जितम् यमुनानीललीलैः तरुपल्लवशोभितम् तद्यातमाचिरं गोष्ठम् शुश्रूषध्वं पतिं सतिः क्रन्दन्ति वत्सा बालाश्च तान् पाय यत दुयत माताजि दृष्टामनां कुसुमितां राकेशकररञ्जितां यमुनानीललीलैः तरुपल्लवशोभितां ओके ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय द डिसिपल्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन Now you have seen this Vrindavan forest full of flowers and resplendent with the light of the full moon. You have seen the beauty of the trees with their leaves trembling in the gentle breeze coming from the Yamuna. So now go back to the cowherd village. Don't delay, O chaste ladies, serve your husbands and give milk to your crying babies and calves. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur further explains text 22 as follows. Lord Krishna says, therefore, don't wait a long time before going, but go immediately. The word satihi means that the gopis are loyal to their husbands. Therefore, Krishna indicates that the gopis should serve their husbands so the latter can accomplish their religious duties and that the gopis should also be considered worshipable because of their chastity. All this Krishna says to the gopis who are married, and now to the unmarried girls, he says, the calves are crying, so see to it that they get milk. To the Munichari gopis, he says, your babies are crying, so feed them milk. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur further reveals the hidden meaning of these two verses as follows. In text 21, Krishna might have said, this Vrindavan is the very best of places, and moreover, this is a full moon night. Furthermore, we have the Yamuna on all sides, and there are cool, gentle, fragrant breezes blowing. These are all transcendental opulences that stimulate loving exchanges, and since I am also here as the foremost ecstatic opulence, the object of love, let us now test how much expertise you can show in relishing rasas. In text 22 he means to say, thus for a long time, for the entire duration of this night, don't leave. But rather stay here and enjoy with me. Don't go serve your husbands and the gentle women, your mothers-in-law, and so forth. It would not be fitting for you to waste such beauty and youth, which are gifts of the Creator. Nor should you milk the cows or give milk to the calves and babies. What do you, who are so full of ecstatic attraction for me, have to do with these affairs? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also explains that the gopis could not really be sure exactly what Krishna was doing, whether he was merely joking, inviting them to stay, or instructing them to return home. Thus, as Sri Krishna spoke about the beauty of the forest, the gopis felt embarrassed and bewildered and looked upward at the trees. And as he spoke about the Yamuna, they looked around, all around at the river. Their absolute purity and simplicity, along with their absolute devotion to Lord Krishna in the conjugal mood, created the most beautiful pastimes ever exhibited in this universe. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So we have here today a continuation of chapter 29. For those who came in late, a brief review. So Krishna and the gopis are meeting. This is before the rasa dance begins. And so Krishna arranges for the moon to rise, Sharadutfallam Manlika. He creates the scenery for romantic exchanges, and then he plays the flute, and then the gopis give everything up. Whatever they're doing, they drop. Somebody's putting on makeup in one eye, kajal. They forget the other eye, they run. Somebody is cooking, it's left half cooked. The parents are trying to stop them. The husbands are trying to stop. The children need milk. The cows need tending to. They drop their duties halfway and run. Nobody's able to stop them, and they come to the forest. And then Krishna is there, and he sees them, and then he starts to tease them. And that's the previous two verses, and now these three are a continuation of that. And so the way Krishna is teasing them now, the first thing he says is, why have you come here? You know, this forest is dangerous, and there are all kinds of beasts in this, and it's night time, not good for you to be out. And now he is teasing them by teaching them duty. He's teaching them duty. So what's the duty here that's being taught? Oh, chaste ladies, serve your husbands and give milk to your babies and calves. So he's reminding them that they have duties to do. So Krishna is so perfect that when he's teasing them by teaching them, preaching to them duty, dharma. Dharma and niti. Niti is morality, the meaning of the word niti. In the 10th chapter, Krishna says, Niti rasmi jigishatam, of those who are victorious or searching for victory, I am morality. So he's teaching them morality here. And he's teaching them dharma. Dharma has multiple meanings, and I want to talk about this today. So the one meaning is duty. Arjuna says to Krishna, I think in the 11th chapter, Tvam aksharam paramam veditavyam, tvam asya vishvasya param nidhanam, tvam avyaya shashvata dharma gopta, shashvata dharma gopta, avyaya shashvata dharma gopta sanatanastvam purushomatumya. Sanatana is eternal, so Krishna is the maintainer of eternal religion. Shashvata dharma gopta, maintainer of eternal religion. It's appropriate that he preaches to people. He teaches them what to do and what not to do. And that's what he does in the Bhagavad Gita as well. Also he says, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah. I am the creator. Tasya kartaram api mam. I am the creator of these four divisions of society, Chaturvarnyam. So the Varnashram Dharma comes from Krishna. And the gopis are in Varnashram Dharma. So they belong to the cowherd community, and those who are married to, I guess, gopas, because they're really boys. I mean, the gopis are, I suppose, 8 to 13 years, somewhere in that range. But they're cowherd folk, and their main duties include taking care of the cows, krushi gauraksha vanijyam, maintaining and protecting cows and taking care of them. And so one of their duties is to give milk to their babies, and the other duty is to take care of the cows, feed the cows. So this culture used to be prominent in India. It's steadily eroding. I remember as growing up in India, I would see cows on the streets, even of Bombay. And then when I used to go on vacation, it's a city called Indore in Madhya Pradesh, and there were cows everywhere. And they would come to your home, and then you would give them whatever you had. I would be there in the summer eating mangoes, and so the mango skins, that's what the cows like. So we would go, they had rough tongues, I remember. You would give them, they would come to your door, and then you would give them food and go away. And there were traditions like that. People had different days. Some people, Tuesdays, they would give out food. They give out food still in some cities. The Gujaratis, for example, they have this tradition of mixing atta and ghee and putting it on a piece of paper. And jaggery, and then they would feed the cows. So this was kind of the culture in Sattvagun. So the gopis belong to that culture, and so Krishna is reminding them of their duties. Of course, he also preaches duty to Arjuna, but the gopis are not the right people to preach duties, as we'll find out later on in this chapter. Because there is a difference between the different levels of dharma. Dharma dana dadi, duty and dharma as understood to be the eternal constitutional position of a living entity. So to Arjuna in the second chapter, he says, he explains that you should be fighting because you're a kshatriya and that's your dharma, your duty. So atha chetvam dharma imam dharmyam sangramam na karishyasi tathaha swadharmam kirtim chahitva papam avapsasi. If you don't fight this religious war, this righteous war, then swadharmam kirtim chahitva, you're not performing your duty as a kshatriya. And then what's the consequence? So there are consequences for not doing your duty. Papam avapsasi. You get sin, you attract sin. So there are good reasons to follow scriptural rules and regulations. You know, there are reasons to do dharma, because when one does one's duty without attachment, with detachment, then to the fruits, I mean, then one can not get entangled into the fruits of activities. So that's kind of the Vedic concept of living. So there's this, of course, a lot of us don't want to do our duty, don't want to do the pious activities either. I mean, most people in the world don't have concepts of doing something. They just want things for themselves. They don't have this concept of duty so much. Of course, some people might do duty as a noble thing. We'll talk about that. That's a more subtle point. So anyway, in the 18th chapter, which is a chapter on renunciation, the title of the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is The Perfection of Renunciation. So in that, there is a verse on tyaga. So the gopis are renouncing, they're abandoning their duties, they're abandoning their families, their relationships, everything is given up for Krishna. Tyaga, it's tyaga, right? Renunciation. So what's the perfection of renunciation? Well, first, let's look at the different types of renunciation. So Krishna takes us to the different levels of tyaga. And one of the verses is, Niyatasya tu sannyasaha karmano no upapadyate mohat tasya parityagaha tamasaha parikirtitaha. So prescribed duties, niyata karma, niyatasya tu sannyasaha karmano. Niyata karma is a prescribed duty for the different social divisions and ashrams, varnashram. So that one should not give up. That is mohat yasya parityagaha. So if one gives that up out of illusion, tamasaha parikirtitaha, that is a renunciation in the mode of ignorance. But the gopis are displaying renunciation of a different kind, and that is the perfection of renunciation, which is one of the last instructions. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. So there also this word tyaga is coming, parityaga is coming in the form of a injunction, parityajya. So give up all dharmas. After explaining all the dharmas that one should be doing, then Krishna says give up all the dharmas. The gopis have given up all the dharmas, and now Krishna is reminding them of their dharmas. So that's the sweetness of this pastime, these verses. You know, he's teasing them by reminding him of them of something that they, you know, on his instructions have given up. He called them, he gave it up, they gave it up, and now he's saying, go back to it. That's where the teasing comes in. So of course the gopis are going to reject that advice. But this advice is good for us. It is good for conditioned living entities. So Krishna, when he's giving this instruction, he's teaching us also. O chaste ladies, satihi, the word satihi means chaste ladies, serve your husbands. This is an injunction from Krishna. Give milk to your crying babies. Of course, a mother doesn't need an injunction to give milk to her crying baby. Although I've been reading some shocking things on the internet. Should probably give up reading CNN, but there was a report last week about Cambodia and how mothers there are selling their young children, girls, into prostitution to pay off their debts. So there is apparently this village in Cambodia that's like a, you know, big paradise for child molesters and all these perverts. So in Kali Yuga, even that is becoming impure. Anyway, so for women, you know, to serve their husbands, give milk to your crying babies, serve the calves, these are their duties, their dharmas. So, but these are good for us. We need to follow prescribed duties. If somebody says, okay, the gopis have given it up, so I'm going to give up my husband, or the husband's going to say, I'm going to give up my wife and, you know, go to Krishna. And that may not work. Because there is this concept that Prabhupada has taught us, being conditioned living entities, how to dovetail our duties, our aparadharma, in the service of Krishna. So there are two dharmas we understand. One is the constitutional position of a living entity, and the other is the, so that's the paradharma. The gopis are demonstrating paradharma, as defined in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, second chapter. Sarvaipum sam paro dharmo, yato bhakti radhokshaje, ahaituki apratihata, yayatma suprasidati. So it's been explained that the paradharma, the transcendental, Parama's transcendental dharma, is to the transcendental person, adhokshaje. Adhokshaje means one who cannot be pursued, perceived by our senses. So he's the transcendental person. And so vaipumsam paro dharma yato bhaktir, one, when one gets devotional service to the Supreme Lord, the transcendental Lord, that is the highest perfection of religion. Ahaituki, it should be without motivation, which is kind of the fine print, no other motivation than serving Krishna. And apratihata, it should be unwavering, nothing comes in the way, nothing can stop it. It's spontaneous. Apratihata, yayatma suprasidati, after which the soul is perfectly satisfied, transcendental bliss. So the gopis are demonstrating that dharma, the paradharma. There's also, I think, in the same chapter, there's another verse, which is, I think, relevant to the aparadharma, and there is, that is, athapum bhir dvijasreshtha varnashrama vibhagashah svanushthitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. Haritoshanam is the satisfaction of Hari, the samsiddhir, the perfection of varnashram dharma, even the dharma that we are following, which is associated with our bodily designations, being a Kshatriya or a Brahman or a Shudra or a Vaishya, we can't help that. But that's a temporary dharma in the sense that once we give up this body, we are no longer Brahmins, who knows what we're going to be, or we are no longer Kshatriyas. We might not be a male body, we might be a female body, or we might be not humans, who knows what it will be. So that dharma, even the aparadharma, the perfection of that, is Haritoshanam. So when we follow our duties, in this world, when we try to follow Prabhupada's instructions, we try to follow the scriptural regulations, the ultimate goal is Haritoshanam. It is for the satisfaction of Krishna. And anything that's not for the satisfaction of Krishna is useless. So I wanted to touch upon this concept of duty. So, you know, there are many people, especially in the materialistic society, who are, I guess, well situated in their positions, like their jobs. Somebody might be a teacher, somebody might be a soldier, or a banker, whatever. And they take great pride in their work. Great pride. I come in at a given time, 8 a.m., I go back, 5 p.m. or 6 p.m., look how much work I put in, and I do so much selfless service. You know, when people retire, we just had a retirement, then they say, for so many years of selfless service, I was at this graduation ceremony, a PhD student was walking, and they had this big ceremony, and then one of the associate deans was retiring, and so the president of the university said, for 25, 30 years of selfless service to the university, you know, I commend this person. Everybody stands up, claps, there are thousands of people in the auditorium. So that is, I guess, you know, from a mundane perspective, a good thing. It's a noble thing if somebody was serving an institution and gave their lives. Some people say, we gave our entire lives to this organization. Look how they're treating us now. They don't give us our retirement benefits, you know. So, Prabhupada has a very, it's one of the verses that really stuck in my mind when I first saw it. It's a very beautiful way he explains it. Dharma swanvishtita punsam vishvakshena kathaso yaha na utpadayati yadi ratim shramayeva hi kevalam. He just dismisses all of this by saying it's just useless labor. Shramayeva hi kevalam. Why that is so? So, if one does dharma swanushtita punsam, if one does, is situated in one's aparadharma, okay, associated with this bodily identification, but it does it perfectly, but Vishwakshina Kathasoyaha, for the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, he doesn't have any attraction. Na utpadayadiratim, doesn't get develop any attraction as a result of performing his duties in that dharma. Shramayava he came on, it's useless labor, completely useless labor. So that's Srila Prabhupada's program, is to try and teach the living entities, the conditioned living entities, to give up, tyag, abandon some of their pet things, at least something. See, we know, ever since we are born, how to accept things. I want this, I want that. I want this candy, I want that toy, and then you grow up, I want this car, I want this girlfriend or boyfriend, when you grow up, I want this position or this income, when you grow up, well, house, and then you grow up, and then you want good retirement benefits and respect in the community, and this and that and the other. We never cease to want things. But the solution to that is to learn to give up things, renounce things. That's what Prabhupada teaches us. The beauty of Prabhupada's program is that it's a daily program for renunciation. When we are chanting, we are taught 2 hours, you chant, don't think about your children, about whatever we think about, our money or what to do during the day. We give up that, we abandon all thoughts, we try to, that's the program, we try to abandon all thoughts of the self and try to be in Krishna's company, in the company of the holy name. So that's practice. We practice coming to the Bhagavatam class, we give up our time, which we could have spent doing other things, our duties perhaps, our regular daily duties, job, whatever it is. We show up late and we come to Bhagavatam class and we hear, or we make time in the day to learn, listen to Prabhupada's lectures. We make time in the day to listen, to read the Bhagavatam. So we are constant. There's always a tug of war. There's always a tension between our aparadharma, our work during the day, our duties towards our kids, so on and so forth, and the paradharma. But we are doing this on a regular, daily basis. And when we achieve the perfection of this renunciation, then that becomes the conclusion of the 18th chapter. We are willing, we are ready to give up sarvadharman, parityaja, all our duties purely for the satisfaction of Krishna. So hopefully that happens before we die, or it could happen maybe in another lifetime, but the program is there, that's what Prabhupada is trying to get us to do. We should try to give up things for Krishna, things that means our pet projects, our pet desires. The one thing, other thought that came to my mind when I read this pastime, and it's been at the back of my mind for a while, is the question of religious fanaticism, fundamentalism versus true dharma. So, you know, there are some religions in the world that would say, well, this person is blowing himself up in the cup of the cause, you know. He's ready to give up his life. And that's also some kind of tyag, some kind of renunciation. Right, they're fighting holy wars, jihad or whatever it is. They're willing to give up everything, their children, their mothers will send their children into battles, traffic bombs. And so that is also a kind of renunciation, and it is looks like it is for God. So is this the same thing? Sometimes we are faced with situations in our lives where we have to make compromises. Maybe our families are not so happy with us taking up Krishna consciousness. It happened with a lot of Prabhupada disciples, right? There was even court cases accusing the movement of brainwashing their members, not allowing them enough sleep in the night. And there are many examples like this, where people had to walk away from their families, and there was a lot of stress and anxiety. In fact, there's a purport I remember from Srila reading Prabhupada's on his pastime, I'm forgetting now, where Daksha Prajapati curses Narad Muni. I think you brought it the other day also. And Prabhupada says that, yes, I'm also cursed just like this by the mothers of my disciples. And that's why I'm traveling all over the world constantly. I'm not in one place. So, the beginning of the ISKCON movement has faced these struggles and these difficulties. So was that fanaticism, being callous and disregarding common courtesy, decency, towards your parents, your duty towards your parents? It's a complex question. I don't think we have time to discuss this in so much detail, because it would depend on individual circumstances. But the one thing, I asked this question again to one of my devotee mentors, and the answer I got was pretty satisfying, although I haven't understood it completely. But I think part of the answer is that one has to look at the mode, the three modes, right? Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun. One has to look at under what mode are we practicing our dharma. Is it Sattvagun? Is it Rajagun? Is it Tamagun? There are religions that are in the mode of ignorance that do not understand that the highest purpose of religion is to rediscover the constitutional position of the soul, which is pure love for Krishna. Prema Pumartho Mahan. They understand the language of virgins in heaven. So it's not really, like Prabhupada would say, this is love of bread, it's not love of God. If you say, God, give my daily bread. So that's a religion that's at the level of ignorance, almost. You know. So one has to analyze, what are we doing in this Krishna conscious movement? What is the goal? Who are the role models that we have? The role models are the six Goswamis, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are so renounced. But at the same time, they are full of mercy and compassion for everybody. It is not that they are out to blow people up. We have compassion for animals and insects and worms and plants. So it is just a completely different level of surrender to God. It's at the level of love. Titikshavah karunikaha suradah sarvadehi naam ajata shatravah shantaha sadhavah sadhubhushanaha. These are the qualities that develop in devotees. They are described in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam. Titikshavah, tolerant, karunikaha, merciful, compassionate. Surudah sarvadehinam, of all embodied living entities, including non-humans, surudah, friend to all. Ajata shatrabaha, there is no enemy that was born for this, such sadhus. Sadhavaha, sadhubhushana. So that is our goal. These are our role models. So the intent is not to cause hurt to others when one gives up things of this world and pursues Krishna consciousness. It might be a collateral damage, you could say, which is nothing can be done about. But if one is purifying oneself, and that's why the onus is all the more on us to make sure we do not become fundamentalists and fanatics. Rather, we have empathy for every living being. So this is the instruction in the fifth chapter. Blanking out of the verse here. Panditaha samadarshi vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunicha evashvapake cha panditaha samadarshina. So the learned sage sees with equal vision all the different living entities, including a brahmin who is full of knowledge, gavihastini, cows, elephants, shunicha evashvapake cha, dog eater also, shvapake cha, and the dog, they are all seen with equal vision, because you see the soul different from the body. You're seeing it with the eyes of jnana chakshu, the eyes of knowledge. So, okay, that's what I had to say today. If there are any questions, comments. Should I be directing? Okay. The hand was at the back first. Trivikram Prabhu.
So we know that the gopis, they're on a different level, a different category, not like regular mortals. Yeah. So Lord Krishna preaching morality to them, was it really for them or for the regular human beings? That's one question. And the other one is the cows in the east and those in the west, are they in the are they different?
Well, I can tell you that the first question, the answer is yes. I mean, this instruction is for us. O chaste ladies, serve your husband. I think the following verses have the highest religious duty for women. He'll talk about that. Next speaker, Pushkar Prabhu, I think, will cover these. So yeah, these are for us. But the second question, I don't have much experience with cows in the West. I have been scared of cows forever, so I don't approach them so much. But the cows here, I think, are bigger. But they're cows. sattva guna. No use making distinctions. Prabhuji, you had a question?
You were talking about performing our prescribed duties,
mm-hmm.
Me and another devotee were just talking about this. So if someone is performing their prescribed varna,
mm-hmm.
Void of sadhana bhakti, are they becoming purified?
Yeah, so this is Prabhupada's point. Dharma swanishtita punsam vishvakshina katha suya. If there is no love for Godhead, then those duties are useless labor. Without bhakti, some form of bhakti, they're useless. So that's what's happened to that's part of the reason why the varnashram dharma has degenerated in India. So a lot of the smartha brahmins, for them the ritual has become the goal. And the Lakshmi that comes from the ritual. That has become the goal. They've forgotten what the essence is, what the real goal is. Yajna arthat karma anyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha tadartham karma kaunteya mukti sangha samachara yajna arthat. So for the satisfaction of Vishnu, one should perform yajna, whatever, even the ritualistic yajnas, for the sacrifice of God, for the satisfaction of Vishnu. If not, that is entangling us, we'll have to come back to reap the shubha or the ashubha. The good and the bad results of our actions. So yeah, very much. It's no use being in the varnashram system. Although, now let's compare it to the complete absence of varnashram, where people are just, you know, there's no rules and regulations for society. So Prabhupada says, first you have to become a human being. If you're going to be on the level of animals, no good. So if you are in varnashram, you're at least not at the level of animals. Varnashram without bhakti. But you are progressive on the path towards bhakti. Someday you'll get there. But if you're in the animalistic way of life, there is no hope. You're just going to be progressive towards an animal life in the next life, you see. So. No more questions? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande.